Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Haranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text Number 40. Pati Chutam Tishtati Dishta Rakshitam Grihe Sitam Tad Vihatam Vinashiti Jivat Yanarto Pi Tad Ikshito Vane Grihe Vrigupto Sya Hato Na Jivati. Pati on the public road. Chutam, some procession dropped. Tishtati, it remains. Dishta Rakshitam, protected by destiny. Grihe, at home. Stitam, although situated. Tat Vihatam, struck by the will of the Supreme. Vinashati, it is lost. Jivati, remains alive. Anata Api, although without a protector. Tat Ikshita, being protected by the Lord. Vane, in the forest. Grihe, at home. Abhiguptaha, well hidden and protected. Asya, of this one. Hataha, struck. Na, not. Jivati, lives. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street where everyone can see it, yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive. Whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. Purport. There are examples of the supremacy of the Lord. Our plan to protect or annihilate, do not act. But whatever he thinks of doing actually happens. The example given in this regard are practical. Everyone has such practical experience, and there are also other clear examples. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj said that a child is certainly dependent on his father and mother, but in spite of their presence, the child is harassed in many ways. Sometimes, in spite of a supply of good medicine, an experienced physician, a person, does not survive. Therefore, since everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our only duty is to surrender unto Him and seek His protection. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street where everyone can see it, and yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive. Whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. Prabhupada's quoting again from the purport of Prahlad Maharaj. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishingha nartasya jagadam udanvato majato no. Tat prividir ihanjasresta tat vido tanubritam tat upekshitanam. That of the child, the parents may try to protect the child, but he still dies. The medicine may be effective or be potent. The doctor may be expert, but still the patient dies. The boat may be strong, capable of crossing the ocean, but still it may sink. So if Krishna gives protection, one is protected, and if Krishna does not give protection, then one is unprotected. I don't know if anyone has ever lost their wallet in the street and had the fortune of having come back, and it's still there. That's if you come back 2.5 seconds later. Because in some countries, like in Arabia, if they catch you picking up the wallet, then they cut your hands off. I mean, if someone else, a stranger, who doesn't, the wallet doesn't belong to, you pick it up for the idea of trying to keep it, and just don't leave it on the street. If they catch you, then they'll cut your hands off, at least one of your hands. There were some British businessmen staying in Saudi Arabia, and they noticed some of their belongings were gone, were missing. So they contacted the police, and they accused the people who were the housekeepers of stealing their property. So they took the housekeepers and they cut their hands off. Later on, they found out where their property was, that they made a mistake, and so the police arrested these British businessmen and cut their hands off. That way no one makes mistakes. And if you leave something on the street, you can come back the day later and it's still there. Because no one wants to lose their hands for such a thing. In any case, in the Western world, even you keep it securely in your pocket, someone will come and pickpocket from you. And even if they get caught the pickpocket, they'll just tell them, please don't do that again. When I was traveling in Loy Bazaar with Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu, if you know who Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu, from Radhadesh. And we were in a rickshaw, and one going back to the temple, and one boy came and put his hands into Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu's pocket and took out whatever money he could get. So we jumped off the rickshaw, ran after the boy, and the shopkeepers caught him. We got the money back, but probably the boy was, that was his occupation, and he was probably working with the police also. I don't think anything really happened to him. He just had to learn how to become more careful when he's picking people's pockets. But that's Krishna's arrangement. This is all karma, Kali Yuga, the society of thieves. As I said before, one thief robbed, or a group of thieves, they robbed a bank. And they all went to their hideout. And when they got to their hideout, the head thief stood up and said, my dear fellow thieves, you did a great job robbing the bank. All glorious to the thieves. Jai, thieves ki jai. Now that we've stolen all this money, I only have one request to all of you. Please, please, let us divide the money up honestly. So they're all thieves, but now they want to become honest thieves. But this is Krishna's arrangement. Now Krishna also says, Anyas chintayantomam ye jana paripasate. Tesham nitya vyuktanam yoga shemam vahamyaham. To those who are constantly devoted, meditating my transcendental form, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So this is a stage of devotional service where, as it says, anukulyasya sankalpe pratikulyasya varjanam. Rakshisya titi vishvaso poktrive varnam data. At the beginning, it's not really clear exactly what our dependency upon Krishna is. But we're trying to learn our dependency upon Krishna. Maybe by good fortune, when we're put into difficulty, then we decide maybe it's time to surrender to Krishna for 5 or 10 minutes. And we pray to Krishna, Krishna, I'm in trouble, help me, help me, help me. And Krishna comes and he helps us and says, thanks a lot, Krishna, I'll see you next time. Did a good job, you know, you're okay, all right. Give him a thumbs up on the Facebook. On YouTube. So we're what's called fair weather friends. When everything is going all right, you know, we don't really care so much about Krishna. Krishna, all right, I don't want to bother you, you know. And when things are going wrong, Krishna, help, help, I am so, you know, I'm completely dependent upon him. Like the person who's worshipping Goddess Durga. And he came to Goddess Durga, Durga, I need your help, I, you know, please, please, you know, whatever I can, whatever is necessary, I need this benediction, please. You know, I'll give you, you know, 50,000 rupees. So Durga said, all right, you know, you have your benediction. So he got his benediction. Next time he comes back, Durga, Durga, I need your another benediction. So Durga said, yes, I'll give you a benediction, but where's the 50,000 rupees? Oh, it's so difficult to get 50,000 rupees, you know. My daughter just got married, and I had to pay for the car. And so she said, well, at least give me a goat. Oh, goat, no problem. Goat, I'll give you a goat the next time. Comes back again. She said, all right, benediction. So he comes back again. He said, oh, Durga, I really need your help. Please help me, help me. Well, where's the goat? Oh, goats have become, the price went all the way up. Goats are really expensive nowadays. So she said, all right, I'll give you the benediction, but at least give me a fly. No problem, give me the benediction. Thank you for the benediction. Well, where's the fly? Oh, there's so many flies around there. Why don't you just catch one of them? So this is the demigod worshippers. Or one other demigod worshipper came and said, Durga, Durga, I need your benediction. You know, I want to bet on this horse, and if it wins, I'll give you half. I'll give you 100,000 rupees. So Gurdjieff is saying, okay, Bennett, that's right. Your horse will win. So he came back later. He said, Durga, Durga, please give another benediction. He said, well, what about the 100,000 rupees? So he said, well, the horse came in second. So I only gave 50,000 rupees. You already collected your 50,000. So demigod worshipers are not very serious about taking shelter of their demigod or goddess. But we also have to become serious about taking shelter of Krishna. Not only when there is problems, but even for ordinary activities, because Krishna knows best. Therefore Krishna says, Chaitasya sarva karmani mahi sanyasya mataraha buddhi yogam upashitya manschita ksaratam bhava. And all activities depend upon me. He doesn't say whenever there is only difficulty. And why is that? Because everything belongs to Krishna. The fact is, as soon as we forget Krishna, as soon as we forget to depend upon Krishna for what we're doing, then we're captured by Maya. Krishna bhagir mukha bhagavan chitare ikatista tare japitidare. As soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, and at once Maya slaps us down into material consciousness. So in all activities, and also for the results. In other words, the result should be, our main result should be to become conscious of Krishna. If we get that result, we should understand that the activity was successful. And whatever the result may be, if we don't become conscious of Krishna, then the result was a failure, temporary, and therefore has no real value to us. Because we're the eternal soul. If the soul doesn't have some eternal benefit by becoming conscious of Krishna, then everything else is just superficial. Work always under my protection, Krishna says. In other words, Krishna can give us protection. First he gives it through Guru Sadhana Shastra. But we should not consider Guru Sadhana Shastra as different from Krishna. Because when we remember Guru Sadhana Shastra, it's the super soul that empowers our remembrance. Or gives us the quality of our intelligence. If we take shelter of Guru Sadhana Shastra, then whatever intelligence we get is perfect, but it may be perfect to different degrees. It may be clear or clearer or the clearest. In any case, it's real. It's real. It's just a question of how much is covered by cloud. It's real knowledge. Just like when we hear Deino Sminyata Dehe Kamaram Jovanam Jura, it's real knowledge, but we're covered by a cloud, and therefore to us, it doesn't seem as real as a person who's actually situated in Brahman realization. Similarly, Krishna will give us intelligence according to what we deserve and what we desire, and that intelligence ultimately for us comes through Guru Sadhana Shastra, and the super soul within our heart empowers it. Lets us know or empowers it to the degree of our insincerity. He reveals that knowledge to us to the degree that we're sincere. That we really want to understand. Or that not only we're inquisitive, as I quote a number of times, that when the spiritual master sees the sincere desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses him with genuine spiritual understanding. So when Krishna sees our sincere desire, then he automatically blesses us with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind folly and absurd inquiries are condemned. So that's our main problems, two problems, blind following and absurd inquiries. We follow like a robot because we don't want to think. As soon as our intelligence starts thinking, smoke comes out of our ears. We're not used to thinking. We want everyone else to think for us. We've been watching television for too long. The one-eyed guru does all our thinking. Actually, television, they say, has some vibration that puts you into a trance, kind of trance. And therefore, it's just whatever's on the television just like sinks into your brain, into your consciousness. Yes, what do you want? Go, and especially little children. Go buy the breakfast cereal. Yes. Yes. Tell your mother if she doesn't buy the breakfast cereal to you, you're going to hold your breath until you turn blue. Yes. Yes. Whatever you say, yes. Mom, buy me the breakfast cereal. No. No. So we're blind following. We're used to blindly following. We're looking for someone to lead us. Lead us to the promised land. I'm not going to do anything. You know, you just lead me. It's all your responsibility. If anything goes right, I take the credit because I've surrendered to you. And if anything goes wrong, you're a rascal. You deserve all the blame because I surrendered to a rascal. I was an innocent victim. So we become surrendered to others with the idea is that if something goes right, I'm the hero. And if something goes wrong, I'm a victim. But I'm always the hero in any case. And absurd inquiries. I'm not interested in becoming self-realized. That I want to find out how to become God. How I can defeat others. Information I can get that will satisfy my false ego, my inquisitive desires for enjoying the material energy. So I want to blind following and absurd inquiries. So I make inquiries. I'm always asking questions. Like I know some devotees in one country. They're always studying the books 24 hours a day. But what they're doing is they're trying to figure out what's wrong with the book. So you can figure out, well, what's the idea? Why do you want to find out what's wrong with the book? The contradictions. If you want to find, I can tell you so many contradictions, seemingly contradictions, in Prabhupada's books. So you can say, just see, it's wrong. It's wrong here, it's wrong there. It could be wrong here too. It says only eat what you're supposed to, you know, what you can eat. But maybe that's wrong. Who knows? How can you trust these things? So absurd inquiries, one should not only hear submissively. So it's not that we shouldn't hear submissively. Now that I've decided that, you know, I shouldn't listen blindly, and I should only inquire, I shouldn't be blind following, I shouldn't be a blind follower. So anything I hear, I'm going to doubt. You may be wrong. You may be right, but I'm not going to take it so seriously because I'm not a blind follower. And I don't know, whatever you're saying may be absurd as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you're just answering some absurd inquiries. No, we have to be submissive. We have to try to listen submissively, because if the knowledge is absolute, if we hear submissively with the right attitude, then we can experience it and realize it. But once you get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So submission is the beginning, and inquiry and service make the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the genuine, bona fide spiritual master will not be effective. Unless there is service and submission, inquiries from the bona fide, unless there's service and submission, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiry will not be effective. So we want to hear submissive, we want to be inquisitive, but we should also follow, try to practice to the best we can, and then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiry will become perfect. And part of that knowledge is that we should be dependent on Krishna. And what is that inquiry? Krishna, what is going on? And what do you want me to do? What's my business? And how am I doing my business? Not only what's my business, and it doesn't really matter how I'm doing my business. We want to get Krishna's opinion. The opinion of his representatives. What is my opinion? What is my duty? What does Krishna want me to do? And how does he want me to do it? Then Krishna can give us his protection. He can tell us what we should be doing, what we should not be doing. And if we do it with the right attitude, then we'll actually get Krishna's protection. And as soon as we stop that type of inquiry, then Maya will come and protect us also. Maya is always willing to give us protection. Put your head on her lap, and she takes a knife and cuts it off. That's her protection. Protect you from doing the same rascal thing again. On the other hand, we should understand, even if Krishna gives us material protection, then that material protection is not really so substantial. If Krishna gives us his own lotus feet as service, as protection, that's real protection. Therefore, in the beginning, we're trying to do what we're supposed to do, and avoid what we're not supposed to do, so we don't get into trouble. But ultimately, as it says in another verse, Anyas Chintayanto Mam, when we actually start thinking about Krishna, rather than thinking about how to avoid things that are unfavorable, or accept things that are favorable and avoid things unfavorable, when we start actually taking shelter of Krishna and start thinking about him, then Krishna will give us his spiritual protection. And he'll carry what we lack and preserve what we have. He'll be our protector and he'll be our maintainer. Maintainer especially in Krishna consciousness and protector from Maya. That's the most important thing. Develop our Krishna consciousness and protect us from falling into illusion. Because everything else except for that is not so important. We need something to maintain the body, but we need actually Krishna to maintain the soul. Then from there we can actually advance to the perfection of Krishna consciousness. To have no interest outside of Krishna's interest, and to always feel subordinate to Krishna, although one may be seemingly capable of doing something on one's own. Or to always feel oneself meek and humble. Therefore, if Krishna wants, he'll protect someone in the material world. If he wants, then the person will be vanquished, according to their desire, according to their activities and their karma, generally. On the other hand, for the devotee, if the devotee takes shelter of Krishna, then he leaves it up to Krishna, whether to protect him or to not protect him. He knows whatever he does, whatever Krishna does, is for everyone's benefit. He has faith in Krishna. But he knows with such dependency upon Krishna, then he's sure to be Krishna conscious, and therefore that's the ultimate protection. Whether externally he appears to be protected, whether he's Hanuman and Krishna protects him and he's able to burn Lanka, or he's Jatayu, he gets killed by Ravana, still he's always under Krishna's, the devotees are always under Krishna's ultimate protection. Because they're absorbed in thinking about Krishna out of love and the mood of service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. So according to this verse, it seems Hiranyakashipu accepts that God is the best security. And the question sometimes arises, how much should we make effort to protect our possessions and whatever we are using in Krishna's service or for livelihood?
Well, if we think it's our possessions, then we're lost. Krishna will take them all away, hopefully. And if we think they belong to Krishna, then we protect them because they're Krishna's property. Krishna's property, then we protect. Even this body is Krishna's property, therefore we protect it. The gopis, they dress themselves nicely and they decorate themselves, not for their own pleasure, because it gave pleasure to Krishna. Yes?
In your experience, what is most conducive for people's being able to improve their character?
Character, that's another step. First, we have to improve our hearing. Because if we don't know what we're trying to do, we won't know how to do it. There's no question of improving something if you don't even know what you're supposed to improve. Now, if someone comes along and tells you that you should improve this part of your character, if you don't learn how to hear properly, you'll simply either reject it or forget it. And not only that, but you won't understand what they're talking about or the process of improving it. So we have to learn how to hear, and then when we hear, then we can try to understand through seeing it in different perspectives, learn what the science is, to see it as clearly as possible, what they're talking about, then apply it in the proper field. And then if Krishna wants, then we might be able to do what's necessary to become qualified to get that benediction.
It seems to be that Brihadaranyaka sequence, Shravana, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and then Baldevi Debhushan's fourth step, mercy of Krishna.
Yeah. We just say, we improve, you know, improve, be a better person. All right, I'll be a better person, no problem. Am I better? We have to know specifically what we want, and we have to know the steps of getting it. If it's not clear, and not only that, but if we hear this is what we should do, but it's not, we don't want to do it. If you tell a thief, you know, you're a professional thief, you know, what I can teach you how to become honest. it's very unlikely he'll become honest. He'll want to take up the process. Unless he's Valmiki. Narada Muni said, you know, why don't you chant the name of Ram? He said, no, I'm a killer. I'm not going to do that. He said, all right, since you're dealing with death, why don't you chant Ram backwards? Oh, he didn't say Ram backwards. He said Mara, which means death. Chant the name of death. So he's chanting death, Mara. But he was doing it so much, he turned into Ram. And he became a pure devotee. So sometimes he can be tricked in that way. Of course, if you have to have the last 60,000 years to chant the name of Mara, we probably don't have that much. We chant Mara, we'll probably die and go to Yamaraj. But there's a science, and unless we take to the science, it's unlikely Krishna's just going to beam his benedictions upon us. Because Krishna's equal to everyone. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned, not in this lecture, a few days ago, that it's very important that we preach, that we focus on outreach. And my question is that often if we want to be like a responsible citizen, we like have so many duties to take care of so that we don't have energy or time left to plan or do or even be motivated for the preaching. Can you maybe say something about this? Is this like at some period in life maybe it is like this and then later we can focus on more on outreach?
Well, everything we should be doing should be either directly or indirectly preaching. If we become, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh. Amar Agai Guruhana Taride. Whoever we meet, we should try to help them become Krishna conscious. So if we meet someone, then we should pray to Krishna, the super soul of my heart, tell me how to act or what to do to help this person make some advancement in Krishna consciousness. Not that we wait, you know, until I have a book in my hand, I'm trying to sell it on the street, and that'd be and then, except for that, everything else isn't preaching. No, everything we do should be part of preaching. We should be acting as gentlemen and ladies in our dealings with others, and pray to Krishna for the intelligence, how we can help this person in some way become a devotee. From whatever level they're at, depending on where they're situated, maybe different things. Professor Kotowski, Prabhupada was preaching to him and tried to explain to him that he's not his body, that we're not these bodies, but he could not understand that. Then he tried to talk about Varnashram, the ideal, we should have ideal people in the society, ideal, we should cultivate ideal people. Professor Kotowski couldn't understand that. So Prabhupada just asked for a taxi. He figured, I can't say anything to him, so nothing I can do, just be nice to him and leave. So that's what he did. So we try the best we can. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.